You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Black Eagles, big news coming in hot off the press. Beşiktaş very active on deadline day. I don't think any of us were holding out much hope after the messages of Beşiktaş potentially closing the books on the summer on the January transfer window. But it seems that that's not the case. On the contrary, Beşiktaş have been extremely active now on deadline day, and I've already signed two players, the first of which comes from Legia Warsaw. His name is Ernest Mucci, an offensive midfielder, 22 years old. He'll be 23 come March 19th. Yeah, you heard that right. He was born on 1903-2001. Ernest Mucci is a very promising young midfielder, very goal-oriented. Scored a couple of bangers in the Europa League already for Legia Warsaw, including, I believe, 3 goals against Aston Villa. So definitely not someone to scoff at. The Conference League, by the way, not the Europa League. And he's also very well respected, highly regarded in the Polish League. And I think this is a spot-on transfer for Beşiktaş. So one I really didn't think we would be able to pull off, I have to admit. I believe it was Shafak Malatya who broke the news about a week ago that Beşiktaş were in for the young 22-year-old Albanian. And at the time, I said there's just no chance of us signing this kid. He's too highly rated. He's considered one of, if not the best player in the Polish league right now. And the Polish league is not something to scoff at. The last 10 years, they've really been in the lift. Also, a lot of players you would be surprised to know passed through Poland on their way to the European top 5 leagues. There was also some interest from Fulham and from Aston Villa in Mucci, apparently, which caused Hasan Arat to kick in second gear, I guess, and move for the player this winter rather than in the summer. The belief is that after the Euros, the price would have only gone up and other clubs would have come in for him. So that's why Hasan Arat flew to Poland personally to finalize this deal. Really good signing, I think. It's not known how much the transfer fee is, although sources in Poland have told me that Legia were expecting around 10 million euros. So it's possible that that Mucci has broken the fabled Rodrigo Tabata record. Although at the moment we don't know. Beşiktaş have officially announced the signing, but have yet to disclose any financial details. And so far, under Hasan Arat, Beşiktaş have been quite coy about releasing financial details. For good reason, of course, because we know our rivals, Fenerbahçe and Galatasaray, have been creative about their bookkeeping. And I think Beşiktaş have set out to say, okay, you know what, we're going to fight fire with fire. This isn't a level playing field, let's level the playing field. And let's see what we can do. I think it's a very atypical signing for any Turkish club. This is usually not the type of player that a Turkish club will go for. Trabzonspor are known to shop around in the Polish league from time to time and have been doing for the last 20 or so years. The older listeners among you will probably remember guys like Miroslav Slimkoviak, the Brocek brothers. So Trabzonspor have definitely been shopping in Poland for many, many years, but they've never signed like the big talent, I want to say. And this is a very atypical move for Turkish clubs, I think, because usually what you see Turkish clubs do is, yes, they spend a lot, but usually the money where they spend it is on the wages and usually it's spent on not necessarily free agents, but players who are kind of in the twilight of their career. Take, for example, an Alvaro Negredo, somebody who we played a relatively low fee for, but then we paid a lot of money for his contract. I think the total cost of Negredo were around 16, 17 million over 3 years. And that's usually the type of moves that Turkish clubs go for, right? They go for players that are established, well established, usually on the wrong side of 30 or just about to hit that mark. And I'm not saying that's bad, by the way. We've had some great players like that. Mario Gomez, when he came, was 29. Dembaba was as well. These are all players that, I mean, they do well. But of course, there's also the other side of the coin, where you have situations like in Negredo, where Negredo, of course, was a good footballer, but we definitely overpaid a little bit. Overpaid a lot for him. And usually that's the type of move that Turkish clubs go for. The older established players, you kind of know what you're getting. Turkish clubs rarely take risks on younger players, especially a guy like Muçi, a 22-year-old, best in the league. Those types of players usually go to the Netherlands or they go straight to the top five leagues. But yeah, now Beşiktaş are moving in for this. I think that's definitely the right route we're going to go down. That's also what Hasan Arat promised, that we were going to make these types of transfers. And I think he's definitely held true to his word now. Of course, we have to hope now that Muçi works out and does well. But I'm sure that given the time, he will develop into a fine player for us. And of course, you have to keep in mind, this is kind of a throwaway season already. There isn't that much pressure he has the next four or so months, the next 14, 15 games to establish himself. And then next season, he can grow into the role of maybe being the star of the team or one of the stars alongside Simi, depending. I say the star of the team because I am expecting big offers for Simi in the summer. So he might not be here next season, but let's hope he is. I think another year for Semi would be fine. 2 seasons, probably a little bit too much. I think right now he's already at the point where he's at the level of the Super League. I think he still can learn and improve things. For example, his heading game, as we saw in the cup game yesterday against Antalyaspor. He can definitely still improve that. But I think once he goes beyond next season, I think Simi's kind of plateaued in terms of what he can learn in Turkey, and he needs to make that next move, most likely for his career. Let's move on, because Muçi isn't the only person we have signed, the only player we have signed. Also, the number 6 position has been filled in. Beşiktaş have reached an agreement with SC Braga for their 27-year-old Libyan defensive midfielder Ali Al-Musrati. Very highly rated as well, player known for his passing game. It's the type of profile that Fernando Santos was after. We were being linked with guys like William Carvalho, also Grujic from Porto, and of course those types of players like also Jorginho. They are known as defensive midfielders who have a very good passing game, who are able to break the lines with their passing game. Al-Musrati is a similar type of player. Supposedly it's a loan with an option to buy. Very good for us to see whether he fits into the Turkish league and all that. But 27, perfect age, I think. Player in, because in that position you want a little bit more experience. And I wouldn't have been against an older player like a 31, 32-year-old William Carvalho, for example. But he has been accused of some stuff over the last week. So I think that kind of hampered that move. But Al-Musrati at 27, perfect age, experienced enough, but still plenty of years ahead of him. So if he does well in the coming months, maybe we'll make it permanent, and then he will be a mainstay for many years to come. Hopefully, let's hope it works out. So again, I think a very good move. And that would make our midfield quite young as well. It would make Musrati the oldest guy in the midfield at 27. Then you have Jetson Fernandes at 25. And then you have Ernest Mucci at 22, soon to be 23. So it's a really young midfield, but a midfield that can go for many years, but also a midfield that has plenty of talent in it. And we would go from the midfield we've been watching for the last couple of months, which has basically been Jetson, Demir Ege, and enter random joker, you know, like either Sali or now recently Amartey. If a Taifur there, I think our midfield has been extremely weak, especially after the injuries for Amir and Ox. But even before, I think our midfield wasn't spectacular. I think now with these two additions, on paper at least, our midfield is looking a lot better. I also think it's going to benefit Jetson very much, because I think Jetson has been getting a lot of criticism lately from our fan base because he's not a very good creator. He's not somebody who's... is a particularly good goal scorer, despite the fact that he gets into good shooting positions. And that's caused him to get quite a bit of criticism from our fan base. And I just think that's very unfair, because Jetson is... those aren't his strengths. Jetson is the type of player that you want to have in a role where he can just cover every straw of grass on the pitch, chase down opponents, recover the ball. That's Jetson's strength. Jetson's strength is his stamina, his ability to win the ball, his combativeness, and his ability to move the ball up the pitch. But then it's important that he has somebody to deliver that ball into, a guy like Mucci or a guy like Semi or a guy like the next person I'm going to talk about in a second, Bashar Onal, who we are very close to reaching a deal for as well. Young Turkish-Dutch left winger from De Graafschap in the second division in the Netherlands. Very highly rated there as well. Only 19 years old. Although, from what I've heard, at least last week, what was on the table was assigning him permanently, but loaning him back until the end of the season to the Graafschap. So, yeah, maybe it's not final yet, but it looks like that's going to be finalized today as well. But maybe he will go back out on loan and might not just be here for the remainder of the season, and we'll see then in for next season. But we never know. We could definitely use some quality on the wing. Ante Rebic has not panned out, and I think Fernando Santos is also starting to lose patience with him. Rashid Ghazal injured again yesterday in the warming up for the Antalyaspor game in the cup. So yeah, not that much good to talk about from the wingers. So maybe Bashar Onal won't be loaned back and will be kept and get opportunities. I think personally for him it would probably be good for him to finish the season at the Graafschap. But if Santos is planning on playing him and giving him plenty of minutes, then it's not a bad thing either for him to straight away come over. So yeah, Ernest Mucci, Ali Al-Musrati, and then almost Bashar Onal. That still has to be finalized. And then of course earlier in the week, we already signed Joe Worrall from Nottingham Forest, also on loan at option to buy, the central defender, 27 years old as well. So that team is starting to look a lot better. We're coming from, I think, a lot of older players, and now the skeleton of our team is slowly but surely becoming younger. Of course, we still have Taib Talha as well, who's 24 years old. We still have Francisco Montero out on loan at Arouca in the Portuguese league. He's only 24. I really hope he gets a second look by Fernando Santos, because I really think Montero is a player with ability that I don't see the point in us giving minutes to Amartey, for example, if you have someone like Montero. Now, granted, Amartey on the six is a big difference. He has played good games on the six now, against Trabzonspor and against Antalyaspor in the cup. So yeah, you have to also keep that in mind, of course. Amartey could be useful, but I hope that we can offload Amartey in the summer. So yeah, I just wanted to bring you that really big news. I don't know if there's going to be any more developments. This is not going to count as a full-fledged episode, of course. I just wanted to get this news out there quickly. Two big moves already, the third one in the pipeline, and who knows, whatever surprise still comes out of Hasan Arat's magician's hat, maybe he pulls out another rabbit. Have to say, I was extremely negative going into this this deadline day. I really didn't hold out any hope for a transfer after the news 2 days ago, I think by Murat Özen, that it looked very likely that the transfer window has been closed for Beşiktaş. Then also there were lots of quotes from Hüseyin Yücel, the vice president, and Hasan Arat yesterday. And Hasan Arat even kind of opened his book to Ali Ece about why certain moves didn't pan out and stuff like that. So it was really looking like it was kind of almost a communique to the fans of, look, we tried, but we couldn't make it happen because this, and that reason. So I really didn't expect anything big to happen today. I genuinely wasn't holding out any hope. I was very frustrated and angry because I really felt like they were telling us this entire window, we will transfer a 6, we will transfer a 10, and we will transfer a central defender. And yes, the 10 will probably come after the European windows close, but that defender and 6 will probably happen before. Nothing happened. Then we signed Worrell at the beginning of the week, just after the European windows closed. I was like, okay, fine. I didn't really personally think we really needed another defender because we had Omar Colley coming back from the AFCON. Bakhtiar has been doing good in that position. It's another younger player, by the way. Bakhtiar is still only 25. It's not young, but it's a perfect age. So we really have a lot of players in their mid-20s, early to mid-20s right now. It's really, really good, I think. But yeah, so anyway, I didn't really think we needed another defender. Of course, I'm going to give Worrell all the time he needs. I'm hoping he does well. Supposedly a very warrior type of defender, like Egemen Korkmaz, for example. So could definitely maybe do with that. And of course, Omar Colley injured again. He's been injured quite often, I have to say. I like Omar Colley a lot. But ever since he injured his shoulder last season, I feel like he's been in and out, the one injury after the other. No serious injuries, but always like small injuries that take him out for a game or two. And I don't know. Omar Colley, of course, already 31, I want to say. So not the youngest, of course. But yeah, after... I'm going off on a tangent again, but I really wasn't holding out any hope anymore. So after that six transfer, that defender transfer, I really thought, okay, you addressed the position that we probably need the least of the positions that you had identified as spots that needed to be filled. And then the six, I thought the six wasn't going to happen, the 10 wasn't going to happen. I was really down on it because, yeah, I feel like promises were made, you know. And I really, really want to trust Hasan Arat, and I really want to trust the process, because all the things he said have been the right things. There are very positive signs. We are signing young kids to the academy. We are extending Semi. We just extended Emir as well. Emir Yaşar, our young goalkeeper. So there's definitely a lot of positive signs there that we didn't have under the Ahmet Nur Çebi board. And even, you know, under Fikret Orman early, had under Orman, that was of course a relatively long tenure. There was a lot of positive and a lot of negative toward the end. Also, Hasan Arat basically declared war on the media, war on the agents. And yeah, it's a brave thing to do, because without the media on your side, it's very easy to get fans like myself going negative, because you don't know what's going on. And if there isn't timely communication, which he did now yesterday, but I think it should have come probably a little bit earlier, you really run the risk of, especially early on. Look, if in a year's time Hasan Arat, you know, now after this, after what he has accomplished today, I think this is going to build up so much credit, where fans will be relaxed. We trust in Hasan Arat. trust the process. I think after today, he has earned that. But before today, I think it's really difficult to say that because we have gone from Yıldırım Demirören to Fikret Orman. There was a lot of positive about Orman, but also a lot of negative toward the end, like I said, to Ahmet Nur Çebi. So much blah, blah, but so few deeds. Demirören was just outright terrible, did horrible things to the club, emptied the coffers, basically, lined his own pockets. Orman did a lot of good things early on, and then there was a lot of negative stuff toward the end, where also a lot of innuendo of people lining their pockets. Again, now with Ahmet Nur Çebi, like some of these transfers, like Emrecan Uzunhan, Emrecan Bulut, you wonder, you know? So it's hard for. Basically, we as fans are like a person who has been cheated on by their boy or girlfriends a few times. And it's very difficult for us to trust. And trust, of course, needs to be earned. And I think with this, Hasan Arat has earned a lot of our trust. And after this, I, for one, am definitely going to be somebody who's going to say, trust the process. That's just, I want to end on that note. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode. Me and Sinan will record later in the week. I will hopefully have some insights from a friend of mine, a Polish journalist who I have been in contact with all day today. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably have seen my tweets first confirming the news, because I'm sorry, Sercan Dikme, all these guys, they've told us so much shit this window. So when I saw the news breaking, I was like, I'll confirm it myself. I'll ask around. So asked around two of my contacts in Poland, independently confirmed that the news was true. Also independently confirmed that the player was leaving Poland at 11. He's expected to be in Turkey, according to Yais, at 16:30 local time, which would make it 14:30 Polish time, which roughly checks out with the 11 time, 11 a.m. is it, I think, 11 a.m. departure time. So, or is it p.m.? I don't know. I never keep these things. We don't talk like that here. We just 1100 hours. I managed to independently confirm those things earlier today. And that was when I got the news from those people that I do trust. I couldn't believe it. I'm really surprised. Again, I know I said this earlier already, but this is the type of transfer that first and foremost, I didn't think we would be able to do. First, because the money involved. This is usually not the type of transfer that Beşiktaş make. But I think it's good. You know, you sign a young player, a promising player. You sign him, hopefully, to a relatively long deal. You pay a higher fee, but you pay a lower wage. Because, you know, you can sign, for example, a William Carvalho and pay $3.5 million a year. Or you can sign a guy like Muchi for, I don't know, 1.2, 1.5 million a year, maybe. I'm not sure what they're paying him. But it's a big difference, especially over the duration of a contract. Say he signs a four-year deal, you know, 1.5 million over 4 years. It's only, what, 6 million, something like that? 5.5, a little. I can't count six. But if you're paying somebody 3.5 million over 3 years, you know, you're already out more than 10 million euros. So that's 4.5 million more over the duration of the contract. So, yeah, I think it makes more sense. Yeah, you pay a little bit more up front, but over the course, it evens out. Plus, you have a player with resale value. Whereas if you sign a guy like William Carvalho, that's a player you're signing not to sell later down the road. See, Mucci now, if he does well for us and he does well at the Euros, we could sell him for maybe double what we paid or triple what we paid. Anyway, yeah, that will do it for this bonus episode. If there's anything more, follow me on Twitter, @Razerian. I will be tweeting it out, R-A-Z-Z-E-R-I-A-N. And just let me know what you guys think of these moves. I think they're really exciting. I think they're great moves. Anyway, that'll do. See you soon when me and Sinan return for the next episode of the Black Eagles podcast. Ortada Popo. Şimdi Popo'nun önüne. Popo aldı. Popo girdi. Popo.